So, folks, if you're expecting three guests, sadly, we're missing one. He's out at the hardware store. I don't know. He went on a raid and got lost.
Apparently, Wheel reads. Ian doesn't Wheel read his messages.
Nice. Yes.
That is great.
That is excellent and accurate. Excellent and accurate.
Indeed.
Yes. This is okay, now folks. A roast Ian chat.
Yeah, this is basically what we're going to roast Ian, ask some questions, and we're going to have some fun. Folks, if you're listening live and you want to say something that's spoilery, say it in the live recording chat because my guests can't see that channel. If you want to say something that they can see, then there's a spoiler-free channel that you can put it into there. I need to organize my live recording channels. They're a bit messy. But yeah, we're going to get going and have some fun. So welcome to Malkier Talks, a Wheel of Time theory podcast. Today, we're not talking theories. We're talking first-time readers. And I have the fabulous Ali and the amazing and glorious Danny.
Oh my God.
She got and two. Wheelies.
You both.
He was here on time.
I have to make up.
On time. I get it. Two adjectives.
Yeah, he's got to make up for the fact that they call Brett the organizer of the podcast.
Yeah. Let's get straight into the roast. Yeah. So bring it on. Come on, Danny. Give me the roast. No, thank you. Danny was here perfectly on time, ready to go. It was like, Rob, I've got limited time. Come on. And then
I do have things to do today.
We actually said before we got going, it's today is very typical. I tried to do something new tech-wise, and it doesn't work, so I have to go to a different method. Ali had mic issues. Danny was here ready to go.
That's why I was late.
That's why you were late. And Ian's at the hardware store.
So. I feel like it's very indicative of our podcast.
it's brilliant.
Yeah, it's correct. It feels right.
It does feel right. Although Ali, you've drawn a little. Folks can't see it, but you've drawn
a little Ian.
Yeah. So we have a flat Ian. We have a 2D Ian with us, which is fine.
We want to ask him questions, we can.
How is that going to work? Oh, 1 second, I'm being asked something. Now, there we go. Skeeter's just put, now you know everything you need to know about 4 different podcasts.
Yeah.
Oh, God, that's brilliant. Okay. So,
Tag yourself.
If you don't know why I've invited the ladies on today, it's because almost a year ago, I sat down with their veteran readers and chatted to them because often, you know, you are the stars of the podcast, obviously.
Absolutely. Yes. Thank you for saying that. Yeah. I am the star of my podcast.
I agree. Danny's the star of her podcast. I don't know, guys.
Gus is going to listen back to this and be like, Rob, I need words now.
You know, what's interesting is I was never allowed to listen to the podcast that Brett did. And so I only got to hear like secondhand what was happening.
Well, I think we probably got a little spoilery, not too spoilery. Who's furthest ahead? Let's just clarify that.
I am.
Danny is.
Okay.
I finished reading A Crown of Swords last night.
Oh.
What?
Mm-hmm.
You're so fast. We just finished Lord of Chaos. We just finished.
Okay, right. So that's, I get terrible. That's a book apart. Or is that 2 books?
Yeah, we are book apart. So you finished Lord of Chaos then?
Yes.
Whoa. Good thing Ian's not here. Because they haven't, right? So now we can talk about the good stuff.
Yeah, there we go.
Bye, Ian.
Good thing Ian's not here. It's better that way anyway.
There we go. But there's a lot to unpack. We were going to release an episode about it on Friday, and then the world exploded. And so now we are releasing it today, and there's a lot to break down about that ending. And that ending slapped me in the face, and I said thank you. So,
yikes.
That's it's pretty long as well, isn't it?
The episode?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be like a 4-hour episode. It's fine.
Who doesn't love a 4-hour episode, you know, with
some people?
No, all the feedback I ever get is people want more. Every time I'm like, sorry, guys, this episode is so long. They're like, no, it's not long enough, actually. So
yeah.
Although, no, to be fair, I don't think we've ever done more than 2 hours and 30 minutes, maybe.
That's Natalie, what's your, you smashed that. I mean, you just said 4 hours, but you've done longer, right?
Well, we did have a 7 hour episode one time. Yeah, but we didn't record it in all one sitting. We're not, you know,
like I was going to ask that.
Yeah, no, not in all one sitting. We don't really recommend listening to it all at once. But it was funny when we dropped it, everyone went, what the hell is this? Like, what kind of people are you? And then later we got all this feedback that was like, actually, every second of that was necessary. And we wish there were it were longer and went into more depth. And I was like, yes. I don't know what to tell you.
Clearly, you just need to keep talking, ladies. So
you just need to keep. I like talking, I guess, you know.
And people love listening.
Yeah, so Rand is in a box, and then Gus told me that that was the reason we started the podcast, is apparently very early on I had a rant where I said, this boy annoys me so much, I just stuff him in a box and ship him to Tar Valon.
Oh, yikes.
Apparently, yeah. Gus went, do you want to start a podcast? So I guess that's what was the emphasis of Wheel Takes.
He did say
that's
that.
That's so funny.
Yeah. He absolutely said that. So how does it feel to be on a podcast without the guys?
So good.
Have you done this before?
You mean right now? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah?
Yeah, like a couple once. Times. Sure.
Yeah, I think once for me. I was on Twatcast, and I did drunk history with them.
That's
once.
Always hilarious.
Oh, nice. That's funny.
Yeah. But Gus was very nervous about it because he was like, you're all going to be drinking, and they're going to be talking to you about the Wheel of Time. My unspoiled wife.
There.
That's a great segue into like one of the first questions that like my patrons asked me to ask you. Have you been spoiled about anything, either of you? Or have the earmuffs been well placed by the guys and kept you spoiler free?
Well, here's the thing. From my end and my point of view, I have for sure seen things but have no idea what they are, what they refer to, what's going on, its names. I don't even know if it's like people's usernames and stuff on Twitter, like that kind of thing, for example. That kind of stuff, I don't know, because people could just be making it all up, or they could be, because who knows with names in the Wheel of Time, like that kind of thing. And until all of a sudden something happens in the series, you're like, oh, that's what that was that time, right? But then it never actually stays in my brain. So I wouldn't say I've been actually spoiled on anything.
Okay. Well, that's not too bad,
For me, there's a couple things. I think Gus has been very clever about what we call on our podcast, gaslighting me, to the point where I no longer know what's real and what reality is. So like, you know, I will see something on, and again, like Danny said, I have no context for any of this. Nothing stays in my head on a good day. I'm neurodivergent. Nothing stays in my head on a good day. But you know, when you have no context for anything, when it's like made up words, you're kind of like, oh, I don't really know what that is. I think it's a spoiler, but I don't know what any of these words mean. So it doesn't really register.
Yeah.
But I think Gus has gotten so good at gaslighting me that like, I could probably read a spoiler and Gus would go, it's fan fiction. And I would go, apparently, I guess so, because that's one of the things he'll do is he'll say it's fan fiction. And that could be true. Or it's like, oh, that's something people ship, but you know, it's not necessarily a thing. And then other times, you know, I will think that I got him to tell me a spoiler by accident, and then it won't be. And he's like, yeah, I do that sometimes, like just in case I trip up and say something. This is early on. He's like, just in case I trip up and say something, I just tell you a bunch of fake things pretending that they're spoilers. And then I say that's not true. And then you just don't know what's real. So I don't know what's real anymore.
Yeah, that's how I feel too.
Yeah,
it's like we're in this like world where we have no idea what's happening. I don't even know what's going on after I read a chapter. I'm like, what just happened? I don't even know. So
yeah,
more than anything, I'm just always confused.
The one thing I did get spoiled on, and but this was after I had so latched onto this theory that Gus and I were like, well, we already said it on the podcast, so it's okay. One person did come up to me and go, oh, my friend is reading Lord of Chaos right now, and she couldn't believe that they put Rand in a box. And I like covered my ears as fast as possible at JordanCon, but I still like saw her say box. And I went, but in my head, I went, I already knew in my head that that was going to happen. You know what I mean? I was like, that's going to happen.
Right.
And then I forgot about it.
Yeah. There was a thing where I think it was on the red carpet at the premiere. And I think there was someone who interviewed Yosha and asked what he was really excited to film as Rand. And he said, oh, well, like I'm in book 10 or something like that. And I'm really excited about the box. And then he like didn't say anything else. And I was like, the box. And this is like the first time I've ever like had any tidbit of any like morsels of anything. And I was like, what's that? What's the box? What's happened? And so I was like, anytime there was anything, I was like, oh, is this a box? Is this that? There was at one point like, there was like a brown sister who collects like leaves in like specimen boxes. And I was like, are these the boxes? Like I was like, and I'm like hyper focused because it's like literally the only thing I ever. And then when it happened, I went, "Oh, I didn't see that coming." Okay,
right.
Yeah. So even though I technically knew there was a box, it was like no clue.
Yeah. But Gus and I have an agreement in case I ever do get spoiled on something that anything that I have said prior to something being spoiled, like the box situation, if I have already kind of said that I think that's what's going to happen, then we can talk about it on the podcast. And if it is something that I don't like know or whatever, then we won't be able to share it as a theory, period. Like I won't be able to speculate on it.
Right.
Just because, you know, we know that people are reading through with us and the fun of the podcast is sharing my theories. And so if it would violate the integrity of the podcast, but luckily we haven't really had anything like that happen.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
The only other one I'd say that I had is something that happens in book 7. I didn't know when or where in the series it happened. I just knew it happened just because of, you know, chats that are really difficult to avoid happening like on social media once in a while. And but I didn't know how or when or why or whatever. And so that's all. That's all I knew. And then, you know, that's all. But that's all I'll say, Allie. No, I won't do it. This is hard for me because I'm on the non-spoiler end right now. That's new.
Yeah, you're not often on the case of with someone who's read less than you, so must be a good bit of fun.
Yeah, Brett and I were just on the Dusty Wheel to discuss the Lord of Chaos, and I was like, oh, but I'm almost done at Crown of Swords, but we're not spoiling past the Lord of Lord of Chaos. So
Chaos.
Yeah. So that was tricky.
Yeah. It does start to merge for me about sort of book 7 onwards, 6 onwards. So I always have to remember, like, what was the last thing you read is usually what I ask. And then I can remember where that is in the series. But so Ali, you said about your theories. Is there anything you've gotten right that you're like, yes, obviously you got the box, but was there anything else you predicted and you were like, found out that it was correct and you were really satisfied by it or disappointed you didn't get perhaps?
Yeah. Hold on one second, really quickly before I share these. Apparently I'm echoing a bit. Or there's an
echo. Might be me. I had to take my headphones off. Look, just a second.
Okay.
That might be my fault.
Okay.
Because my headphone cord is like breaking.
Okay, great. Sorry, I just wanted to not mess with the sound quality by accident.
No, I'm sure that's my fault.
No, you're all good.
Okay.
Gosh, Danny, stop being a person.
Yeah, stop being human. Oh my gosh.
We hate that.
Folks, tag me.
Be more like Flat Ian.
If that happens. Be more like Flat Ian. Yeah, should we roast Ian for a hot second now? Ian, why are you not here? Why can't we blame everything on you?
Right.
Yeah, I think the one that people talk about a lot for the things that I was right about, the box theory for me was big, that I got that right. The theory that Melindra was a dark friend was big for me personally, and that Aram would pick up the sword was big for me. That Luke and Esom were the same person and that they were Slayer was really huge for me. Yeah. That was my first one.
That's one.
Hell yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. But I think the one that people always say to me is when I clock Lanfear from the very beginning as Selene, but before she was introduced, I said, she'll be like, okay, she's like the daughter of the night. So she'll have some name like Luna or Selena or something like that.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
And I'm like, it'll be some like cute disguise. And then Selene shows up and I was like, boom, I found her. She's been located.
Yeah, that is, that's so close. That's crazy sometimes.
That one was kind of crazy.
Yeah.
My biggest thing that I predicted from the beginning as a crazy prediction. I just had to pull out my notes.
I was about to ask, you have all your notes in front of you.
Yeah,
this is my notes. Brett is just a passenger. So.
No, this is my notes from the Lord of Chaos episode that we just did. Because I wanted to make sure that this happened in Lord of Chaos. Because I really don't want to spoil out. I'm like so concerned.
Yes,
this did happen in Lord of Chaos. So from the beginning, since we saw Loghain at the tower, gentled from the very first moment, I was like, oh, Nynaeve's healing that guy.
Oh, I did that too. I was so sure that was going to happen.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Because Min saw the viewing of him with Glory or something, and I was like, oh, well, he's got to be able to channel to have Glory. And Brett dug in so hard on that one and was like, why can't he have Glory without channeling? I was like, not in this world. Nope. No way, Jose. No way. Not with those suicidal thoughts. There's no way. So, No,
he didn't sway you at all.
Nope, not on that one.
No. And they try so hard. They try so hard to make. I don't know about you, Danny, because I'm not allowed to listen to your pod. Because
yeah, I know. Vicey versus.
But once I'm done with these books, I'm going to binge your podcast because I'm really excited.
I can't wait.
But they try so hard to make us doubt ourselves. It's wild. You just have to stick to your
gun. Can't believe it. I would never be able to do.
My
poker face is terrible, so I don't know how they do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also predicted Egwene as Amarlynn.
Yeah, me too.
That one I think was laid out on a beautiful path for us.
Yeah, there were lots of sides. Yeah. And the Swan coup, I saw that one coming too, the Tower coup. I did not see Godwin coming, but I did. I kept saying like Swan assassination.
Oh, yes.
Swan assassination.
Yeah, nice. Not surprising there.
Nah, that one. Yeah, I think what's great about the books for me is that there are enough breadcrumbs where if you're really trying to look for them, like I think Danny and I are, and you spend enough time with these books, like
it's
not handed to you. It's there. Not obvious, but it's there if you're looking for it.
And I've really started just saying everything I think ever. And once in a while, some of it's going to come true.
Yeah.
I'm wrong way more often than I'm right, for sure. But we don't clock how wrong I am all the time. Yeah. I have like put my, stickers on my chart every time. And I really note when I get things right. So.
You have a chart? I love that.
Not really. No, it's like a metaphorical chart.
Oh. I was expecting little gold stars.
I was like, that's such a teacher energy from you. And I love it.
Yeah. That's amazing. Okay. A metaphorical chart. I love that.
It is metaphorical. We always say, put it on the prediction board. And it's just so, it's not a literal board that we write predictions on, but people think it's true and they're so disappointed that we don't have a literal prediction board. Yeah.
It would have to take up like a wall in
and
your
I'll be like, throw it on the prediction board. And it's just like, that's what you say. We don't I don't have time to have a prediction board. I don't know. It'd be pretty funny. I wish I had one, but alas.
We do have a very sweet listener who has made a prediction tracker for us as like a passion project, which was very
sweet. That's so funny.
And every now and then I'll go through and look at it just to remember things. I've said some wild things in the beginning. I just was throwing spaghetti at the wall completely to see what stuck.
you've guessed big things. So, you know, clearly it's working. Is it more fun to be terribly wrong or terribly right? Like, which way do you prefer? Or do you just enjoy both?
I mean, I like being right. I mean, I like being right in the sense that, like, I enjoy the satisfaction it gives me and the feelings of, like, I am smart. But I think being wrong is more fun in terms
it's
of...
It's really like, fun to be wrong
really
sometimes.
It's really fun. Yeah, I like being right, like, in the satisfaction sense, but being wrong is so funny.
I also like just, yeah, throwing out just a million different things that could potentially happen out of one situation. I just always like that part. That part's so funny for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think truly the answer is like, be wrong confidently because it's
very.
So much. That's what I learned in improv when I was doing improv, is if you're going to be wrong about something, be wrong very confidently because it's delightful if you're right and it's delightful if you're wrong.
Yeah,
that is good advice
to me as well. It's,
yeah, I was very confident that the whole Cloud Bowl situation would wrap up by the end of book six. I was confident about that. It was not.
Yeah,
it was
yeah.
not the case. It is sure. It sure is dragging. Yeah,
I thought that Sean Chan were going to attack Saladar. I was positive that was going to happen.
Right.
Because I'm like they're pretty much defenseless until Zaddy Brin shows up. They're pretty much defenseless until then. And then now there's enough armies.
They're only like medium defenseless because they're in the middle of like nowhere.
Yeah. And I thought, well, if like Leandrin is working with the Shan Chan, as she already has been with Egwene and like giving them Egwene and Nynaeve and Elaine, like.
Yeah, but Leandrin is 100% out of that picture.
Oh, yeah. But I was like, well, is that their only point of contact with the Shan Chan? I don't know. Did they just delegate all of that Shan Chan plot to her? I don't know. So I was confident that I'm not really confident in that now. But
okay.
I thought they were open for a potential thing.
That's fair. Someone in the chat said, Danny, they thought your prediction board thing was real, by the way. So people are still assuming that is a real thing. Your prediction board.
Oh,
throw it on the
prediction board. Yeah, I know. I say it a lot. People are actually very upset when they find out I don't have a literal board with all my predictions on it. Yeah, after every single recording, I would have to write down a list of things. I say so many things.
Yeah.
You clearly you need someone to binge your show from
please.
The beginning.
Do it for
and
me.
Just like they have.
Yeah, who's your fan?
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if I should share her name.
No, that's okay.
I don't know if I should share her name, but it is very sweet of her, and we really, really appreciate it. It's a very nice thing. But
someone's about to send me a whiteboard in the mail. I have.
It needs to be a big whiteboard.
I know.
No, it is humbling. Having an actual tracker is pretty humbling, actually, because you see how many times you're wrong, and you're like, okay, maybe I should not think so highly of myself.
Yeah, there are some things that I'm, like, immediately wrong about. Like, I'll be like, oh, this is the last we're hearing from this character for a while, I bet. And then it's, like, literally next chapter, it's, like, them, and they're. I'll be like, oh. Oh, you know what I really, really got wrong? When Egwene and Gawain had their weird dream hookup where nobody consented. That
that was saying that. I was like, "Why would you really manage to write a scene where no one consented?"
Amazing, just amazing writing. Yeah. Yeah, it's still weird and icky, but like so that whole thing. I thought it was going to be a much bigger deal. I thought Egwene was legitimately like trapped. Like, because of the situation, I was like, and then I went on this whole tangent about how, like, this is such a huge deal. What's going to happen? What's going on? How is she going to get out of here? The Dreamwalkers are going to have to, like, somehow rescue her because she's trapped in Gawain's dreams forever. Because, like, I don't know how the dream world works. And then, like, literally the next chapter, she's like, and then she woke up. And I went, huh?
Well, at least you didn't have to wait long to find out.
No, it was like, wait a minute. And Brett was like, uh-huh, so you think this is a big deal? It's like, yeah, how could it not be? I went on this whole thing.
I bet he was enjoying that one so much.
Oh my God.
I was convinced that Borghese was doing this escape from Robin with Leedy and Talonvor. And I was convinced she was going to come outside and it was going to be like, there's Leedy and Talonvor's heads on the horses. Like, it was going to be a whole, like, scene from Gladiator where you think they're going to escape. And it's, I mean, spoilers, but like, different Gladiator. But I thought it was going to be a whole, I mean, it's been out for a long time. But she comes out and there's going to be like their heads on the horses. It's going to be like, you thought. And that's what I thought. And then literally, like, and so we rode away. And I went, oh, really? Okay. I didn't think it was going to be that easy, but you go off.
Nice.
I thought there'd be an elaborate escape with Pater. And then they hung him the next chapter.
Like the opposite,
That whole thing, I was like, oh my God, what's going to happen? And then it's like the White Cloaks accidentally caught a dark friend by accident.
Yeah, it's so funny. I'm convinced that Robert Jordan and Harriet got in a fight because Harriet was like, something needs to happen soon in this book. And then Robert Jordan was like, well, now nothing's going to happen just because you said that. Now Pater's gonna die.
Oh, poor Pater.
Yeah, because I thought he was gonna like hand Morgaze to a bunch of dark friends, and then it was gonna be really bad. I mean, not Brett, that being White Cloaks is an upgrade, but
yeah. No, Brett is very adamant about how he thinks in the show that Morgaze just needs to like die really early on, and then we don't have to worry about this entire side plot.
Wow. Going on
forever. I think that it should be unclear whether or not Robin or Rand kills her. In that, like, because I think it will make the Gawain thing
interesting.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's my proposal. That's my pitch.
I like it. Do the guys tease you about the things you get wrong?
Yes.
Do they never let you forget?
Not so much.
Not so much.
Not really. Yeah.
That's nice for you, Danny. I mean, he teases me about sub stuff. Like, I was so convinced, like, I was pretty much, like, crushing on Gawain in the beginning.
Really? Oh,
I love a guy who can tell a joke. And so he was kind of funny. And this is why I'm like, don't date comedians. Don't date them. Because this is the shit that happens. They charm you with their sense of humor, and then they're a dick.
Right.
Sorry, okay. Can I swear on the podcast?
Yes, you can swear on the podcast. You're fine. Yeah. Dating advice. I didn't expect that today. I've got to be honest. So
you didn't expect swearing?
Dating advice.
Oh, dating
advice. Yeah, dating advice. No, I definitely expected swearing.
I was just saying, have you listened to any of our podcasts?
I was like half hour in. I was genuinely thinking about 5 minutes ago. Wow, Ali's like just not doing. She's being very, you know, no swearing or anything.
It's 11 in the morning and I haven't had wine yet.
It's the Lord's Day.
That's fair. For me, it's a lot later. So I'm like, I've been to work. You know, it's a very different day for me.
Yeah.
I guess it
could have spiked my coffee, but I have a children's birthday party to go to after this. So
I would have encouraged it then.
Yeah. The mom did promise there would be wine there. So probably shouldn't show up, you know.
It's already lit.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, God, that's great. So obviously you read through doing chapters by chapters and, you know, you don't just get to sit and do a whole book.
No, never.
So you miss out on a lot of the fandom interaction. Like, do you get FOMO for the things you miss?
Oh, yeah.
Or you think you miss because obviously you don't know what's happening.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I do. I can't tell you how much like middle school era anxiety it gives me to see Gus on Discord talking about me and I can't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, I don't love that.
it's
funny. People like that you said things. And I was like, well, that's nice.
That's nice. I don't get to know what they're saying about me though. And that's a very deep human feeling of like, okay,
everyone's talking about you. Reminds me. So I finished A Crowd of Swords last night and that means I finally, in our Discord channel, can unmute the Crown of Swords channel and then I can go and read through the entire thing.
Yeah. Oh, that's so nice that you have that. Oh my God, because we just have one spoiler channel.
Yeah, we have any books. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's so nice. That's so nice.
I'm going to read through all. That's like my day later. Yeah. I'll never forget. Yeah.
I'll never forget coming onto your Discord. And I had this is because I think I'm the center of the universe, but I come onto your Discord. There's a thing called Danny Discussions.
Yes, like there is. Danny
Discussions spoiled.
Oh, and I thought, this is a great story.
This is a channel that I can read because I know things that Danny doesn't know.
No.
But Danny doesn't know. They've made a channel for me to have a discussion about what Danny thinks.
Nice.
And I get in there and I'm like reading stuff and I'm kind of like, it wasn't anything that I couldn't know, but I started to doubt myself. Like, I started to think about it. Well, because there's two sections.
There's the spoiler-free section, and then, up to the current episode that was released, and then there's a spoiler-full section, and both and sections have dad discussions.
Yes, and that's what I was in. And and all of a sudden, I just type into the chat, Gus, can I be here?
No.
And my parents have that I'm upstairs and Gus is downstairs, and I just hear Gus screaming from downstairs. No! My parents were shaken. They're like, "Why is he sprinting, screaming at our daughter?"
She tried to find out some Wheel of Time spoilers.
Yeah, yes. He's like, "If you scrolled up at all, it was one of the like five things I hope you're not spoiled about."
Oh, right. Wow. Oh, yeah, I didn't know that part of the story.
Is this close to finding out a huge spoiler.
Oh, my.
Oh, my gosh, Allie. Oh,
like,
read where you are.
Yeah. It just did not occur to me. I was just like, oh, how nice. This is a channel that I can be in. Because at that point, I was ahead of Danny.
Not quite. Yes. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, Gus did not share that part of the story or that your parents were there. that must have been quite something to explain to them afterwards. Yeah. Like, so why were you running through the house?
They didn't actually know we had a podcast. Like something we had just kind of like done over quarantine and then seen them for the first time. And so they were like so confused. They were, first of all, what is the Wheel of Time? What is a podcast? Why are you screaming at our daughter?
Right.
Not screaming in a bad way, just screaming, no, don't do it. No.
That is so amazing.
Concerned. That's really funny.
So many close calls like that.
In terms of,
do you just wander around Discord? See, folks, to be safe, they are in my Discord so that folks can listen to them right now, but I'm going to gently boot both of them out afterwards so they can avoid spoilers. But
I'll leave just on my around? Own. Thank you very much. No, just kidding.
Okay. I was in a couple Jordan Con panels where, you know, somebody dropped a spoiler, but I was like texting the cat sitter and wasn't paying attention. And everyone like gasped and looked at me. And I was like, I'm so sorry. I did not hear a single word of that.
Yeah, there's Gus there with his like hands over your ears. I remember seeing that at one point.
This podcast has taken years off of his life. I just know it.
That's amazing. Oh God. So, what's the craziest thing that Brett's done? Because obviously Gus is now running through the house, terrorizing parents and stuff. What's the craziest thing that Brett's had to do?
Well,
or are you really responsible, Danny? Is that it? Okay, and Brett's just there for the ride.
You know, I'm pretty responsible, but Brett is so strict. Like, I just never saw that, you know, coming out of all of this. He's very strict and tells me like what I can and can't do and what I can and can't listen to. And I'll be like, I can be the judge of this and I can decide for myself. I also don't want to be spoiled. Like, I can't figure this out. And he'll be like, you cannot. And then I'm not allowed to like guest on any like other spoiler free anything because Brett is like, everybody has different levels of what spoiler free means to them. And and I was like, but we're ahead of them. And he's like, yeah, that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And so he's just very, very much the strict person about that.
Wow.
So, yeah. There's like things I can't follow anyone on my personal Twitter that is a Wheel of Time pod, the Wheel of Time anything. I can't follow any Wheel of Time anything. I can't
I should tell you right now, you're missing out on a lot of jokes from me by not being able to do that. So but one day you'll be able to read them.
One day.
And then roll your eyes at me.
I'm in charge of our social media, which I've been like super duper failing at lately. Life has been nuts. But so I'm in charge of the social media, and I want to, you know, support and follow the Wheel of Time people, but then I just have to mute everybody. And so I don't interact with anyone or anything. And it's not that I don't. And there are some that I probably aren't following. And it's not because I don't like you and I don't want to follow you. But I got to stay clear.
Spoilers. Got to stay clear of the spoilers.
Gotta stay clear.
The only one I'm allowed, the only social media one I'm allowed access to is the TikTok. And Gus has to read the comments before, like on our videos before I can read them.
Nice. You guys are killing TikTok. Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
I have no idea. I don't TikTok, but I had no idea you're on TikTok. That's really cool.
It's my favorite thing. Oh, I love it. I can't
keep up. It's so much work. I'm just in awe.
It's so much work. Yeah.
It's so much work. And then TikTok punishes you. If you like don't post for like 2 days,
they punish you.
And then you try and post. It's like one of my videos, I was like posting lots, and then I was getting up, you know, thousands of views and whatever, and you're like, sweet. And then you like take 2 days off, and then it's like 60 views. You're like, fuck you, TikTok.
Oh yeah, they will punish you.
That's brutal.
Not posting. It's brutal. Yeah, they will like kind of shadow ban you a little bit when they're mad at you.
Yeah, it's like wild. If you don't post for like literally like a day or two.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
I've noticed something similar. If you like have an underperforming video, like the next day, it doesn't show you to as many people.
Yes.
They're mad at you.
Yeah.
they get mad at you.
I can't like devote brain power to that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's just like, I get too invested in the like numbers and stuff. And then I'm like, okay, this isn't good for me and my mental health. Yeah. You need to just have fun with it or not do it. Like the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. I am a little bit about YouTube. That feels like a lot of work to me. I'm like short form content, hilariously short form content, video wise is like, yeah, absolutely. Long form can feel like a lot of work to me.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. Just different things, different strengths. Mm-hmm. I do love the TikToks. It's so much fun.
You'll have to send me a link and I'll include it in the description because,
Occasionally we've had people get mad at us. They're like, somebody commented on one of our TikToks. I was like, we're a first time reader podcast. I always say like, please no spoilers past where we're at in the books, in the comments. And somebody was like, well, then why would you have social media presence at all if you're not like all caught up?
Go suck a lemon.
I was going to say, look, clearly dog friends, but sucking a lemon sounds better actually. That's...
I know. I was thinking, it's always funnier not to swear when people expect you to swear. That's what I've learned too.
Come up with something more creative.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just something random, like suck a lemon.
That's also not very pleasant. So.
This is true. Yes. Although I did meet someone once who enjoyed just eating lemons.
That sounds like a weird person.
There's an exception to every rule out there. So. All right. With the reading and you being going back to being stuck chapter by chapter,
obviously
that's not how you read other books.
No, it sucks.
And I presume you've read other books, so it sucks.
Read.
Yeah,
how does it feel? Yeah,
I'm assuming you have. Yes,
not in the last 3 years, but but I used to. I used to read other books.
How does it compare to reading a book you don't have to wait for? You're not worried about spoilers for and things like. What's the difference between doing chapters at a time and then just reading for pleasure, I suppose. Although hopefully you're still enjoying reading the chapters.
Well, it's not great and I don't recommend it.
Next question.
That's it. That's all I have for you on that. It's not
that's a witchy cackle for me.
You know, we almost didn't continue with the podcast when we first started because I had like a breakdown. We must have made it to chapter 15 or something like that in Eye of the World. And this was like the most tumultuous, like at any point after this, we were fine, but we almost didn't continue because I had a breakdown because I was like, I'm not enjoying this. I'm not enjoying this book. This isn't how books are meant to be read, and I hate this. And we, you know, obviously didn't have anybody listening really at the very beginning. And it was like, what are we doing this for? Isn't this for fun? Like, this isn't fun for me. And so it was a challenge. Absolutely. But then, you know, eventually we just sort of kept going with it. And and found new ways for me to do different things. And, you know, Brett took on some of the note writing and stuff like that, because that was really time consuming. And just like having more fun with it was kind of the direction we went. And now it's kind of how things happen. Once in a while, I'll be like, oh, shoot, this is a cliffhanger and I really want to read on. But in my life, I really don't have that much time for a lot of free reading anyway. So it kind of works out. I don't know how that was, but that was.
It's funky because on the one hand, I think what's nice about it is that I can do a lot of really deep reading into things. You know, I can really kind of sit with what I've read and come up with theories. And I think part of the reason why I can go over the series with a fine tooth comb and really like read into everything and come up with all these theories is because, and you know, why I'm like, the breadcrumbs are there. And I kind of feel like Charlie Day when he talks about Pepe Sylvia and in Always Sunny in Philadelphia all the time when I talk about these books. But I think what I also struggled with in Lord of Chaos in particular was when I really noticed it, is that it changes the pacing of the books pretty substantially. Like there are parts of Lord of Chaos that are supposed to be slow and frustrating for Nine, even Elaine, and the characters. Yeah. And when you are reading
normally,
it,
yeah, you can just keep reading.
Yeah, yeah. Normally you can just read through those chapters that feel more like filler. But when you are creating content around those chapters and you're like, okay, so we're doing two chapters of this and
these both suck.
you start to go, there is not a goddamn thing happening in this book. It's been like four episodes, which is 4 weeks of our lives where we've started and gone, and they're walking and they're talking and they're looking at stuff. And that could be a little bit stressful. Because you could typically kind of read through those and do all that. Yeah. It's not like a poor me type of deal, but I think that Robert Jordan did not at all intend for these books to be read this way in any way, shape, or form.
Oh no. He didn't even think people were going to like reread them.
Yeah. I don't think most writers start out.
He said that at one point. He was like, I can't believe people reread these before a new book comes out. He said that in an interview once.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, Lord of Chaos was written before podcasts were invented. So, it's not really meant to be consumed this way and broken down into this kind of bite-sized detail. So I think that part of it is really interesting. And I definitely notice, I mean, the hardest part I think about it is when you're at a climactic point and then you have to stop. And you just want to keep reading. I mean, I had to stop. They put Rand in a box and Guess goes, and that's that chapter. And we're going to stop now for the next couple of weeks.
Wow.
We read it. And then we still had another episode of more like filler chapters, but sometimes he'll let me read ahead if it's, you know, there's not a lot of,
You have so much more leeway than I have.
Brett is a taskmaster, clearly.
I've never allowed to read
all. It's for our marriage, Danny. It's for our marriage. Everything after this is good. Everything after this is not good, but like everything after this is substantial and will spoil you on things, and your reactions need to be organic. With what's happening now, and your predictions need to be organic with what's happening now, and that part is really hard.
I'm not allowed to read on until after we record,
and I don't know about you, it keeps me up at night sometimes. I will wake up and go, what is going to happen? Like I turn over to Gus and I go, you need to tell me what's going to happen, and I don't want him to tell me what's going to happen, but it's just I can't physically read the book. I'm not allowed, and it's that feeling where you want to stay up all night and read something, but you're physically unable to do so because a person tells you not to.
For the content.
We're so brave.
I feel like I can put a disclaimer in for Brett now. Brett, if Danny turns around and is like, but it's for a marriage. Yes, if Danny uses that right now, I apologize,
no,
Brett.
I subscribe to it too. I see the benefit in not reading on. For me, that matters because I do want my predictions to be genuine, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So, all of that garbage. But Allie, on the flip side of the boring chapters where you have to do like two chapters of like things where nothing happened, I always start out being like, ugh, and these chapters suck. But then by the end of it, we've talked for an hour and a half about these chapters and you get to pick out these little details that you might have missed or whatever. And I, at the end, I am always like, okay, actually these weren't that bad, turns out.
I find, because it's funny because, you know, obviously the chapters where a lot happens tend to get more traffic than the chapters where people are like, this, you know,
nothing's gonna happen.
Like obviously the Battle of Two Rivers, more people are going to tune in than, you know, walking and talking around Saladar. And, but I've almost gone, I think sometimes people might be missing out on some of our best stuff because that's usually when a prediction
Those are the episodes that we can tangent. We can like tangent like crazy and we can, you know, go off and whatever because there's not much content to actually talk about. It's those shorter chapters that we end up having some of our best conversations. I agree.
Yeah. It's kind of funny how that happens because there's time to kind of sit with it and there's time to come up with stupid jokes and there's you have the space to come up with theories. I mean, there was a point, and I'm not going to share what my theory is, but there was a point where we had this nothing chapter where I was kind of like, I'm always excited to record because it's really just sitting with my best friend and talking about a book. But, you know, and it feels like a fun book club for us. And I forget people are listening most of the time, which is why I say so many unemployable things on our podcast. But, I keep forgetting about the fact that people listen, but I think,
it's better that way to just think
to think about these bigger ideas. And I came up with this huge theory about Matt and the Finn during one of those slow episodes where I started like jumping on the couch and screaming.
Wow.
Like, you know, I think that some people might be missing out on that by skipping through.
But yeah, it sounds like it for sure. But do you feel obligated to ever like anything that you don't actually like because you're making content?
Yes.
No.
I love Danny. Nope. Next question.
initially I did. Right.
Yes. But
when we were first podcasting, both of us felt like we needed to be our best, which is why I always think that our first few episodes are by far our weakest, is that we were so worried about doing it right and so worried about like getting hate from people. And then once we first got our first like negative pushback, both of us went, all right, it's not as bad as we think it's, and we thought it's not as bad as we thought it was.
Don't listen if you don't like it. Brett and I have a really fun.
It's not an airport. You don't have to announce your departure.
Right? Good one.
Nice.
That's funny. That's good. No, Brett and I, a lot of the times, we'll take really hard stances. I found that people like better when I just take a hard stance on something, even if it disagrees with what Brett's saying, because we can be arguing about two polar ends of something, but somebody listening is going to either agree with like me or Brett. And so no matter what, there's somebody who's going to be like, nope, sorry, Danny, Brett's right on this one or whatever. And I'll be like, that's fine. I know you're both wrong, but that's okay.
And I think the podcast has been,
No, that's okay. I was just going to say a huge thing for me personally, like growing up, I always tried to mold myself to fit into what other people wanted me to be because, you know, I was always the loud, obnoxious one or whatever, and or the annoying one. And I always was trying to like be something that I really wasn't. And it's not until, you know, adulthood where you're like, well, fuck those people. It's okay if people don't like me, and that's okay because, you know, I don't like everybody also. And so what I absolutely loved about this and why I was so quick to say like no is, for me personally, being able to just be myself and say the things I want to say because I think them and feel them, that's huge for me as like a person. So that's, it's really nice to be able to just like be myself and have people be like, I like what you're saying. And so that's part of it for me.
Yeah. You kind of took the words right out of my mouth. I think initially, you know, I am somebody who has some really intense people pleasing tendencies. Yep. You know, I want to be liked. Everyone does, right? Yeah. And we want to fit in. We want to feel like people like us. And when you are putting yourself, especially as a woman, on the internet, you're signing up a little bit for potentially some not awesome interactions, right? And so I think initially I felt a lot of pressure to be this perfect podcaster, right? And be really good at it. And eventually I kind of turned to Gus and I went, I'm not a person who can be anything but myself. I've lived my whole life trying to mask that I am different and neurodivergent and all of these things. And there's not a way to do that for me. I'm realizing, and the podcast has been like a weird therapy for me in that way, where I've gone, okay, I'm just going to risk it all, be myself, and hopefully that's okay with people, and that the response is, and be honest when I don't like things, even if it's somebody else's favorite thing. Because that's the thing, people love these books so much, and like there are people out there that think every word of these books is infallible.
Yeah,
you know, and they will attack you for like questioning any of it.
Oh,
right?
Yeah,
and I think And I mean, I know I have been, had some major hate leveled at me for things, right? For saying what I think is the truth. And
Like the fact that Bane and Theod are married and in love. Oh, right. Oh, whoops.
Right? Exactly.
It's so divisive. Exactly. That's the most divisive thing we've ever talked about, I think. And it's
I think Elaine and Avienda have more sexual chemistry than either of them have with Rand.
Yeah. Have you seen her behind, though? Have you seen it? Because it's glorious. Because it's glorious.
Her breasts. Wait, come on. It's horny. But I think, when she like strips down and is like, spank me or kill me. I was like, oh my God, this is a porn. But
Yeah. Really? You're not wrong at all.
You're off topic.
How is the hottest scene Robert Jordan ever wrote? One that he has no idea is the hottest scene.
He didn't know how hot it was.
It was so hot. Okay. So I think, I felt a lot of pressure, and then to kind of like go, all right, I'm going to just risk it all and for fun, and then have people go, we like that you did that, is really weird and good. It's been a weird therapy for me, but yeah, there is times where I feel some pressure to like things, and then I just have to remind myself
sometimes I'll be like, sometimes Brett will be like, okay, these are, some of the favorite chapters of people in the whole series. So, you've got to do a good job for it. And I'll be like, I'm not going to do anything different than I normally do. Like, sorry. End. I don't love Lord of Chaos, and I don't love the ending. I don't like it. It's very triggering and traumatic for me. And I think as a woman reading it, it's completely different from like a man reading it personally. But we're not here to discuss the
just to brush on that a little bit. Like when Gus and I started, we were like, we're gonna be completely apolitical. We're not gonna delve into that. And I go, but these books aren't that. Aren't. Because like Danny said, they are triggering, they are deeply personal, they draw on real life trauma that this man experienced. I mean, how can you not read Demise Wells and think about the fact that he, as a young boy, basically a boy, was a machine gunner? Like you can't separate life from that. And like, I mean, we read the Tower Coup and then January 6th happened.
Yeah.
Right. The timing of this podcast can sometimes be really freaky. And I just went,
art or what is it?
It's very creepy. I turned to Gus and I was like, I don't want to know what happens in this world when we hit the last battle. I just, holy moly, because there have been some weird timings. And then we have Demise Wells happening with other pretty major things that are happening right now. And I just went, and I just said, I just don't think that it's possible for us to not address the things that are being addressed by these books. It's just not. And that might alienate some people, but at the end of the day, isn't our integrity more important than that?
Yeah.
And we have a platform, even if it's small, and like, we're not doing the books a service by like sanitizing what Robert Jordan's trying to do, but that's a risky thing to do. And that was a real come to Jesus conversation we had to have at a point in our podcast. And I think you hear the switch at some point where I'm like, fuck it, we'll just tell you what I really think.
Yeah. That's what people want to know anyway. Like, the best podcasts are the ones that are just like real. Like, stop pretending to be a podcaster and just like be a person talking. That's what people want. That's what people relate to. That's what we found. So,
yeah. And that's become a very, I mean, I went to JordanCon, and I think that I, up until JordanCon, had thought a little bit in my head that it was just Gus being a bunch of sock puppet accounts and trying to convince me that we had listeners, like all the numbers were fake. And just a little bit in the back of my mind, I was like, but are these people real, or are they just a bunch of Gus, like with these.
Is he paying a bot service or something? Is that
and
what
then getting to meet people who say things like, you know, you being open about your neurodivergence, which is something I've always been taught to be ashamed of, right? Has helped me understand my own neurodivergence, was a big deal for me. So, I mean, I think being honest and being yourself really pays off at the end of the day, even if some people have some things to say about it.
Suck a lemon.
Yeah.
I realize it's more hurtful when people don't like you after you really try to make them like you than if you're just being yourself and that's like not good enough for people. You're like, well, that's rough.
That's
if you're like trying really hard to make people like you and then they still don't like you, you're like,
my favorite thing is just like not even engaging because they want to be engaged so much. We got an email one time where someone was calling Brett a piece of shit. And I was like,
and I was like, you.
It was like, you piece of shit, you're leading her off and blah, blah, blah. Like, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, thanks for listening.
Brilliant. Yeah.
Like, that means you listened and gave us some download numbers. So that's cool. Yeah. Okay, bye.
I mean, I shared that I'm open about being neurodivergent on the podcast and have been called the arsler by haters of our podcast. It happens, right? And then you're just kind of like, well, I mean, what do you want?
I think that reflects like, more on those people than it does on you.
Absolutely. That's the point. It's like, and it's so funny too, because Danny, I've talked about people going, I've listened to thousands of hours of both of these podcasts and wasted. And we go, I guess, thanks.
thanks for the downloads.
I think you, after thousands of hours, you probably should have decided. I think maybe after five, you probably could have made a decision.
I usually can tell after like one.
For that very reason, I always tell people, if you're going to listen to the podcast for the first time, go to episode like 6 or 7. I kind of find a groove by that point. Right. Don't listen to the first episode. It's crap.
When Brett and I started, we got some advice that said record 5 episodes and throw them all away.
And we did.
That's great advice.
Yeah.
I'm going to go delete my first 5 episodes now.
I know, because you do. You have to, because you got to find what it's like to talk to each other in front of a microphone, and you're so in your head and nervous about starting. So that's what I tell people all the time.
Has the podcast become kind of a cool time capsule for you a little bit in any way?
Yeah, like, we recently had
your daughter was born during the podcast.
For my whole pregnancy was not, so like, I'm looking forward to when there's any time in my life at all for anything extra. Like going back and re-listening to some of the things that we've said, instead of doing like a reread, we might go back and do like a re-listen.
We've talked about
react to your podcast. Okay,
Is that narcissistic or is that fun? No, it's excellent. And if you don't have to listen.
You should finish reading in your podcast and then react to each other's podcasts.
Oh, that'd be funny. That would be good.
That's asking a lot more of Danny than it's asking of me.
Why?
Because our podcasts are so long.
7 hours? Yeah.
Yeah, it's asking way more of you. But yeah, I think that would be fun. Maybe. But it's become an interesting, because our lives have changed so much since we started the podcast. Like, I was a teacher.
Right.
We were living in Chicago. It was before the pandemic started.
Exactly. I was going to say, we recently had someone who was like, whoop, it's January 2020 and Danny and Brett think that they're going on a trip or like something like
that. Exactly.
That's amazing. I'm like, oh, now it's March 2020 and and they still think they're going to go on a trip in July. And they're like laughing. Yeah. And like someone was like recounting in our Discord because they were like back at those episodes. And it was like, oh my gosh, that's yeah. so funny.
It's a, yeah, they'll reach out and say things like, hey, congratulations on your wedding, you know, yeah. or like, yeah. or like Allie just quit her job and I want to tell her how cool her job is going to be and that she's going to be fine, you know, because it was like, quit my job during a pandemic. It was like, I don't know what's next and I'm freaked out and it's going to be great, you know? And they said, oh, I can't wait to hear when you actually get the job that you wanted. And, you know, so it's very cool. It's very cool.
Yeah, it is.
I agree. All right. We've got a little bit of time left before Danny has to go. Okay. So
this is hardly my fault.
No, this is Ian's fault. So, you know, exactly. This we blame Ian.
All
that's what this
is
about.
This is Ian's fault.
Yes.
Show flat us on Ian. Flat Ian or Ian.
There we go.
Where you are going to hit Ian.
I'm going to make Ian do a reaction to this episode and just sit there and be like, damn, I missed out. So,
well, yes, he's the one who's missing out.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Okay, so before I let you go, let's talk characters. Is there anyone you're really scared is not going to make it, or anyone you hope doesn't make it, perhaps? Someone you're like,
I'm
going
to play this game sometimes. We'll be on a walk, and he'll come up with characters, and I'll say whether or not I think they live to the end of the series. Like, he'll go, Lanfear, and I'll go, no. And then he'll go, Elaine, and I think Elaine's toast. I think one of Rand's wives is toast, and I think it's Elaine.
Right.
Cool. That's I'm fine with that. She's very mashed potatoes anyway.
But I feel like she's the one.
Yeah, like she's just kind of dull and mashed potatoes.
Oh, right. Okay. You've had wrong mashed potatoes, Danny.
Like, I know.
Yeah, exactly.
Every once in a while, Elaine will like step up and be like, wow, we added some flavor here. But
yeah,
then we're back
engineer.
To just like.
And then
now we're back to just some mashed potatoes.
Just the mashed potatoes. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, Elaine, Ilyana, it sounds like similar enough to me. I don't know.
Ooh,
it feels like there's like a parallel.
Interesting. Good parallel. Uh-huh.
Okay.
So this is the stuff that Brett would like hate so much because he doesn't want me hearing any of Allie's theories because he assumes that what she says is going to infiltrate my brain and influence my decision-making about my own. Like, no.
I think you should just contrarian, like go even harder.
Right,
like,
if I'm in trouble, I apologize now.
I think Elaine's lasting to the end, and she's actually the one who's going to beat the Dark One.
Allie's a dumbass. We'll see who's right at the end.
Yeah. The heart's
I mean, I think the one that always gives me heart palpitations is I don't think both Rourke and Amys are making it out. And I find them to be like a couple goals to me.
Oh, Rourke and Amys for sure are goners.
One of them dying or both?
No, they're both gone for sure.
Yeah. But I think they're not going to go together. I don't think we're going to get that as a gift. It's going to be like we're going to see one really suffer without the other for a while.
You know what I'm upset about? I really don't think Loyal's making it.
Wow.
He might be too good for the world.
It's going to be like heroic. It'll be almost like Shemeshta. What's his name?
Shemeshta,
the green man. Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah. You know, went out heroically. And you're like,
I think he makes it only because he's writing the books. Like, I think it's going to be like a Hobbit type thing where you're like, at the end, it's like,
I like that. But what if Aerith can pick it up and finish it for him?
Oh, I think Allie's heart just broke.
I would die if that happened. You know what? Do you want to write these together?
I have so many good ideas. You know what I wanted to pitch him an idea. Hey, you know what should have happened at the end of Lordicus? You want to hear my take on this?
Yeah, please.
Elaine and Nynaeve should have found the Cloud Bowl, and then it doesn't do what they think it's supposed to do.
Oh.
How cool would that be? That would be so much better than just never find it.
You know what I thought?
And all this buildup, and all the key. Number one, you don't even know where this is or if it exists. Number two, you just think it's going to fix the weather, but like, how do you know that? That's so stupid. They're so naive and dumb. And we also have had the same plot before when they had to go find a power object that they didn't know where it was or what it did, and they're being chased by the Black Aja who are also looking for it. We've already had this plot before. It's like, I'm over it. But anyway, sorry. That's my
rant. I thought what was going to happen at the end of Lord of Chaos with the box thing, and I kind of still wish
that
this happened.
Got wrapped up real fast, actually. Like, within five chapters, Rand was captured, tortured, and then, like, freed. or
it all happened
so fast.
My thought process was, I thought that Savannah was going to like come to him because she had that box thing that some random guy gave her. And at the beginning of the book,
it was like a little cube, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like some kind of cubey. I don't know how big it is.
I picture it like a dice. That's funny.
Well, that's so interesting. I picture it like...
Really?
Yeah.
I'm on the dice path.
Like almost like a cooler size, like a small cooler.
Oh,
okay. Right.
I thought was going to happen was, I thought it was a stasis box, which is something they've talked about from the beginning. That's basically like
you
a storage container.
Someone just gave Savannah a stasis box?
Like a stasis box, yeah, where it was bigger on the inside. And I thought that was how they were going to get the Aes Sedai in to take Rand, and then they were just going to stuff him in that and bring him to Tar Valon.
No, they shoved him in a literal trunk. Yeah.
I thought they were going to shove him in the stasis box. Like, I thought they, like, Savannah was going to come to him.
Very interesting theory.
Like, wailing at the sky, being like, I want to meet the man who killed my husband. All Greek tragedy, like, and he was going to be like, well, I have to. And he's had this whole thing about how, like, he doesn't want to kill women or hurt women or be suspicious of women, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
And he thinks he's invincible and whatever. And she was going to come to him with, like, one of the wise ones. Because they said this is something that only people who can channel can use. And then she was going to like pop it open. All of, like 13 Aes Sedai would pop out, shove him in the box, and take him to Tar Valon. That's what I thought was going to happen. I kind of wish it did. But mostly because I like being right. But
I didn't think
to like hit him on the head and put him in a box.
It's kind of a snatch and grab move, wasn't it? So
yeah, okay.
It's TARDIS Rand. It's TARDIS, bigger on the inside.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Back to characters. You asked a question about characters.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. That was your question.
That was the question. I'm loving the tangent, so don't worry. It's okay.
Okay. So initially, I liked Egwene, and then there was like a period of time where like I didn't love Egwene, and then. Honestly, so when I wasn't loving her, she was doing things like that she really shouldn't have been doing. She was like arrogant. She was like overconfident. She was being really kind of irritating. And then she becomes Amyrlin, and all those qualities, I'm like, yeah, boss bitch, get it. Like I was so excited. So I really like Egwene has flipped for me, and I love Egwene right now.
Mm-hmm.
So you hope she makes it all the way through. Is that what you're saying with that?
Yeah, I think that Egwene, Nynaeve, and Rant, I think that like being like really, really powerful channelers will be important.
Yeah. Because
my prediction has been the whole like you need the two sides, the Emmy statues.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. Right. Yes. 100%.
The Emmy statues that he has. We need a male and a female working together to like defeat the dark. We've like literally had that sentence. And I was like, Rand and Nynaeve. That's what we're getting. That's been my prediction. So.
They need to come together. Yeah, they need to come together. They need to like tear everything down before they can rebuild, right? They got to clear the rubble before they can rebuild.
Yes.
Which I knew that guy was dead. I was like, he's on to something. They're going to axe him. And then he goes, I'll see you soon to explain more. And I was like, he will not be alive to explain more. This man. No. But I think in terms of it was who we are afraid won't make it or who we hope will make it.
Well,
we'll make
either.
Well, here's the thing, though. Forsaken dying doesn't even actually mean that they're gone anymore. Like, how can baggage just come on back?
Well, technically, the only one that can come back still is Ishmael, right? Because I think he said, I can't bring back people who've been balefired. So Robin
is
done
true.
And Baelal's done. But Ishmael got stabbed.
And so we don't know, too, about Asmodian.
Oh, and wouldn't it be bad if Ishmael killed Elaine? Like, because he also caused, like, Elaena.
I feel like Lucian offed Elaena on his own.
Well, yeah, but Ishmael was, like, he didn't exactly go, like, no, don't.
No,
are you saying
he didn't.
He was there, like, a bowl of popcorn, like, just enjoying it, you know?
He's, like, sitting there, like, slaughter. And then he goes, look what you did. Oh, no.
Yeah.
What a shame.
But I think, turn into a mountain. I'm afraid of for Varen.
I don't like her very much. She can go.
All right.
I'm worried. I'm suspicious. Yeah, it's been kind of a weird, rough book for me with Varen.
It's really hard for me to like and care for any Aes Sedai at the moment.
Right now, yeah.
Yeah.
Swan, I'm worried about.
Swan.
I'm worried about Loghain.
You know
end.
What I'm worried about? I'm worried about Alana dying and the repercussions for Rand.
Yes. Right. Yes.
Okay.
Because I don't think that she will live till the end, and I think it's going to be really bad.
But I'm wondering about passing the bond at some point. Because that whole, like, force bond thing like is terrible. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
She wants it. What if Elaine tries to bond Rand, but he's already bonded and didn't tell anybody about
it? Can you have a splitsy bond? That's splitsy the question. Bond. Can you do splitsies? Can he bond people back?
Because he can channel.
Because he can channel. So could he, like, bond Alana back and be like, what
see,
now?
This is okay, guys. This is why Allie and I aren't allowed to get together.
Yeah. I feel like I need to stop this a little bit. Also,
I see Rob's face. He's just sitting there, like trying so hard. He's like sweating, trying not to say words.
I'm like, I need to turn my video off in a second. Like, so we're recording with software that lets us see each other, even though no one else can see us. And I'm sitting here like, I can't move my face in any way up or down.
Yeah,
because
I'll be like, okay. I'll be like, oh,
in the early days, we used to podcast together a lot. And I think Gus and Brett were like, we got to shut that down.
folks are telling me Brett's going to be very distraught when he hears all this. So I'm sorry, Brett.
See, also, of this spoiler chat of this recording is bothering me because I want to know what people are saying.
That's it.
Sorry, can't.
I sit there and Gus will be like texting other people about me in front of me and I won't get to know what's being said. And
it's all good things, I'm sure.
Vulnerable.
Everything I've ever heard from the guys has always been great. So don't worry. Yeah.
That sounds very sarcastic.
No, I mean it. I'm not being sarcastic. I'm just trying not to give away any spoilers.
You're just British. Got it.
You're just trying not to get hate mail from our husbands.
Yeah. Well, last time I recorded with the guys, I got not hate mail, but I got told off by Danny. So I didn't, I don't want to repeat it,
Because the idea of the podcast was my idea and I do a lot of the work for it. And you gave Brett more credit than he was due.
That's so interesting. That was your idea. It was not my idea. Gus asked me to do it.
I said the only way I was reading the thing is if we could start a podcast and do like a book club. Because I didn't want to sit and read the 15 book series by myself. I thought that sounded boring. And I'd listened to another like first time reader-ish type of podcast for a completely different series. And I liked it very much. And I was like, I want to do that. So...
That's great. You saw what could be. Gus said, read these books. And I said, I will not. And then I told him.
I did that for 10 years.
Yeah. And then I told him I'd commit passive time to it while we were driving to his parents' house. I would listen to the first book. And then I went on this rant. And I remember Gus in a grocery store. We were at Jewel Osco. And he was like, please start a podcast with me. And I went, I will not. And then eventually we're in the checkout line. By the end of the checkout line, I said, okay, but it's your baby and I will not. I will show up. I will do the reading and I will show up. And that is all I will do for this.
Yeah.
And now look. I would TikTok about the Wheel of Time.
There we go.
There we are. Super
perfect.
Cool.
That's all a great way to wrap this up because Danny has to go.
Yeah.
Folks, thank you for listening. Everyone who's hopped in the server, there's so many people who've joined to listen to the two of you.
Who will probably never
appear in the server again. If you're a first-time reader, beware, this is usually a spoilers Discord. So
nobody tell Brett.
Yeah,
nobody tell him.
We just won't send Brett the link. He won't be able to find it, I'm sure.
You know what? He's too busy to listen anyway. It's fine. I'll tell him it was boring.
Yeah, there we go. It's super boring. It's just that British guy. He's never entertaining.
We did not miss Ian at all.
No. Ian, it's also perfect because Ian just messaged me, be like, dude, I'm so sorry. We had flat Ian.
I'm going to keep this flat Ian joke going.
I want this to be a thing now.
Flat Ian doesn't have much to contribute to the conversation.
Just like regular Ian. No,
oh my gosh, you too. Right.
I'm kidding.
This is clearly a dangerous scenario that I should bring to an end now. Plus, Danny has a wine party to go to.
That also involves children. We'll see.
We'll see if it involves children.
She has a wine club to go to, folks. That's what it is. Yeah. I wish. No, but thank you for listening.
That sounds great.
If If you're listening back later, please go and find Wheel Takes and Wheel Weaves. They are hilarious podcasts. They are worth binging. I have only heard snippets here and there because, like these wonderful people, I'm a very busy person and there's so much out there. It's on my list. No, because I'm like, I'm just going to binge it in one go type thing, like exclusively listen to the podcast.
Thousands of hours.
I have actually said this. I'm just going to like exclusively binge.
I really love it.
Wheel Takes and Wheel Weaves or Wheel Weaves and Wheel Takes. Like I'm going to do one and then the other and just binge it all in one go type thing.
Love it when people message us where they're at in the podcast. If you ever want to do, there's some like threads of people like binging through. I would love that from you if you have the spoons.
Okay. But I will do my best to find the spoons.
I would like that too. I want that. Maybe I'll
do like the chapter analysis type thing. So I'll listen to like chapters 1 and 2 from Wheel Weaves, then chapters 1 and 2 from Wheel Takes. Is this like a new, have I just invented a new segment for me to do now?
Oh my God. That'll be so much work and so much time.
That would be
helpful. If you did, I would be very appreciative, but that you're under no obligation to do so.
That's very kind. Danny's over there looking to be like, Rob, start now.
It would be great, but oh my gosh.
It's a lot of work. Yeah,
it would be. It's a big commitment. Yeah.
Well, thank you for joining me, folks. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for having us.
No, it's been a blast. Thank you. And go enjoy yourselves, folks. And like I like to say here on the podcast, even though it's Malkia Talks, until next time, may you always find water and shade.
Nice.
Bye.
Bye.